Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Aren't we all in cages, though, in a sense?
And the Bulldog.
Are we sure God's working harder than Satan? He might just have a better coach.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Great questions. Philosophical questions here for you every day or some days. No charge. Not always the answers.
Yep.
But lots of questions, including today, how much is Crazy Mouse? How much would it cost to buy one of these Fantasy Island rides? And I asked that because my daughter's reaction to Fantasy Island closing yesterday was, can we buy Crazy Mouse? It would fit in our yard, which, I don't know, maybe. It's probably more, those things probably take up more space than you think.
Probably.
If you're eight.
But you got I don't know, the pool might be in trouble. Maybe you could have it above, not, you could have the pool underneath it. Like you know, there's like a golf course on the infield of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You could have like a pool, you know, around, like the wild mouse is around the pool.
Yeah, that would be relaxing to have Crazy Mouse riding above while you're swimming.
Yeah.
Totally while you're just hanging out by the pool.
Yeah.
So that's one question. Yeah. The NFL is getting closer, it appears, to 17 games, and also, perhaps more interestingly, 7 playoff teams per conference.
Yeah, I guess the CBA, just so we're clear, I don't know that we've said it during our show, maybe everyone knows this, I don't know, but the 7 teams in the playoffs would go right away. If the CBA gets agreed upon before the start of the new league year, which is when free agency begins, like the 17th or 18th of March, it's the 18th of March, then the 7 playoff teams would begin right away for this season. The 17-game season would be pushed back until 2021 at the earliest.
So that'd give me more time to figure out how I want to do it.
Yeah, right.
Because I am totally the right person for that. I'm objective, smart. Like, I would figure out the best way to figure out who should play the extra game. I think it is reasonable to think that each team could play one neutral site game every year if it gets to that point. Because they've been dabbling, as we know, for years in that.
There'd be
room.
That's what you better do, I think, because I don't think it, you know, it's already tough enough to have it be as fair as it can be with the way the divisions are. And, you know, you have these years like the Bills had last year where, you know, they played an easy schedule and they benefited from that. This year they won't have that benefit. I don't think it would be right to have, you know, division standings and the playoffs and all this stuff and have 9 games at home and 8 games at home and, like, it's not the same for everyone. Like, that's just not okay.
It would be interesting if – I'll get you a call in a second, but it would be interesting if more sites were chosen as neutral sites and whether or not there'd be arguing about just how neutral they are. Like, so London is still pretty much considered – neutral, unless, you know, maybe you allow for Jacksonville.
Right, if you had to go there and play Jacksonville, maybe you'd feel like that's not.
Do you think, though, the Bills did
anymore.
That?
Yeah.
I mean, some people listening right now were at that game. Maybe it's different now, but do you feel like you were playing a road game in front of that crowd? I mean,
no.
Maybe not.
No.
So, Mexico City, maybe Toronto gets back in the mix. Maybe there are other places. Maybe the Bills would end up, maybe fans would end up hoping for Toronto for that one game, if you knew there were going to be one. Some people would want more faraway destinations, and some people would want to go to it and make Toronto an extension. It would just be looked at differently. Instead of as a threat, it might be looked at as like a blanket, almost, like the safe zone. Let's play there. That's us. We're there. And, you know, bring on whoever.
Yeah, I wonder how much, like how many more, you mentioned Mexico City. Toronto's kind of fallen out of it. It doesn't mean they couldn't get back in it, obviously. But you've got London. And they've been playing, have they played games at the Tottenham Spurs Stadium yet? They're just playing at Wembley.
Okay, two sites in England.
Okay, so you've got two venues now. in London that are equipped to handle NFL football.
Right.
I don't know. Like, how many would you need? You know, for every team to play a game, if you, you know, you could conceivably play a full slate of NFL games in London, right? And just everybody just takes their turn going there. You know, that's a way to clear a lot of them out. Jacksonville's already committed to playing two games a year there, as it is.
In a row.
Right.
Two. They'll
right,
play
that's
back
right.
to back.
And it's going to go stay there. Yeah. So.
That's what we do. You know this. That's what we do when my daughter has hockey in Jamestown.
Yeah, you just go and stay.
You just stay there for the whole duration.
Right. That's how it should be.
That's coming up this weekend.
Right. Good. I wish you luck.
Been a while since I've seen Jamestown.
Me too now, but probably more recently than you, because I was there when Owen was probably your daughter's age.
He had a jamboree?
We had a full weekend tournament down there and they won it. It was awesome. It was a super, super fun time.
The Bisons days,
they won a tournament down there, and yeah, we stayed in a hotel and walked to the rink, and it was like the kids thought they were on the New York Rangers.
Right.
It was super, super cool.
Yeah, we had some of that with lacrosse
a few years ago. That's really fun. Anyway, so you've got Mexico City. So what? You know,
maybe Jamestown.
Where else do you need? Like, how many more venues do you need to make that happen? You know, because you could have a full slate of games in Mexico. You know, just different teams every week.
Some places, of course, in the country would be considered more home games for some teams than others.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Is London that? Is even Mexico that? Maybe not, but maybe Toronto is, or maybe St. Louis would be a consideration. I don't know. Here is Mark with us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So you touched on a couple of my points about the neutral sites, Mexico City, London. Was talking with some buddies at work, and we're thinking, we're kind of trying to figure out how do you make that 17th game equal? Because you can't have half a division with eight home games and the other half with nine. That just doesn't seem fair. So we're kind of figuring, kind of brainstorming and thinking about like how this year we're playing the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next year, if we go to the 17 game schedule, the NFC West team that we finish in the same position as, we play at that neutral site. So it kind of rotates that way.
Yep.
It helps build some cross-conference rivalries maybe a little bit more than we might ever have seen.
Rivalries or even marquee games. Like, there'd be a lot of – those are some of the best games every year, I think, are the –
because you get to see.
Yeah, yeah. Like, once every 4 years, these two top teams from the different conferences meet, and then you just have, like, an additional maybe up to 16 of those. Like, I think that might be the best way to do that.
And it just kind of rotates with – however it goes, we're thinking about, 16 weeks, so a team would have to play every week at a neutral site, but it wouldn't actually have to be that because you could do it over, 8 weeks and have half the teams playing in Mexico City, the other half in London. I've heard that they might go from 1 to 2 bye weeks as well. I don't know if that's rumor or if that's actually something that would happen.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. But
The game after that, international, would be a bye for everybody, and then a regular bye fit into the rest of the weeks.
Right. That should work. I think that's really smart. Yeah. If it happened, and it won't, that this year they went to 17 games, and exactly what Mark said is, as I understood it, is what they do. You would play the second place team in the NFC East, the division you just played, and that would be Dallas. There would be another Bills-Dallas game somewhere, and that's great. I'm all for it.
Sure, yeah. My favorite part about this now, like, I'm still pretty, like, whatever. I don't need more games. I'm all right, you know, but I'm also not going to be, it's fine the way it is. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm just sort of, I think they call this nonplussed, is what I'm just like, all right. But thinking about neutral sites to me would be fun. Like, what does that entail? Like, what part of the country am I assigned a region, or do I have to go out of my region? Do both teams go out of their region? Like you're saying, Buffalo probably shouldn't get to go play in Toronto if Toronto's in the mix because, you know, we played home games there by choice for. How many years was that? 3, 4, 5?
I think it was 5.
Okay. So, like, we already did that. So that maybe you'd be disqualified from doing that. But are we talking about, like, college stadiums? You know, like, can I go meet Dallas at Notre Dame?
Let's talk about college stadiums right now.
Like, let's do that. I mean, I'm going to go play at Tennessee.
Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, I think a lot of that.
Yes.
Like, I would love that. I would love thinking about that. A lot of those venues, to me, I love seeing. It's part of the attraction of watching the SEC is, like, the hedges and the whole thing. You know, like, if that's what we're talking about, we're going to get creative in that way, that's something I could plug into. Like, that would be really cool. I don't know. Is Lambeau Field a neutral site if I'm playing the Dallas Cowboys and the Packers are on the road? I'll go play at Lambeau.
Very interesting. I love the college stadium idea. There's only the one thing they would need to do. If they were going to schedule these neutral, quote, neutral site NFL games in college stadiums, they would just have to make sure that they had enough blank. That is the one thing. This is the one thing they need to account for. NFL games would work in college stadiums as long as they had enough blank. Be a little bit careful here. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. What would you need for an NFL game that you don't need for a college game? It's too hard. There might have been an idea.
I'm wondering. You're not hearing any dings. That's not an official ding. That's me saying I'm not ready to ding.
Ding.
Wow. I'll say it. I got a ding for you. Ding it up. Ring-a-ding-ding. I got it. You could have these NFL neutral site games in college stadiums as long as you had enough blank. You just need to make sure you have blank. I don't know. That might have been a good idea.
Ding,
ding. Ding.
All right.
Let's wait on you. I'm worried. Let's wait on you. Text your answers to 550-550. May I start?
Sure.
Maybe I can spark some inspiration.
All right. So, neutral site games at college stadiums sound like a great idea as long as you have enough blank.
Gene, I say you could do it as long as you have enough booger. Okay, well.
What time is it? Are we close to a break?
It's 7.
Yet? Are we close to a break? No, we're
it
not.
Just turned 7.
Wow.
All right, Joe is up with his show, and it's his turn. All right, maybe it's bad. I don't know. Maybe it's bad. We'll see if we get some good text answers. Joe.
Yes, Gene.
Joe, you could play NFL games in college stadiums, I guess. You just have to make sure you have enough blank.
Gene, I went with tables.
All right. See? Not bad. Bills games, tables, specific to the Bills, right? No one else is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow, no other team has adopted that. Somehow, other fan bases have resisted.
At least as far as we know. I mean, I don't know.
They probably are like,
can't
do that.
It's
too good of an idea.
The Bills
and they
that.
Own it.
Right. Yeah.
Bulldog, here's the question.
Yes, Gene.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You could play NFL games in college stadiums as long as you had enough blank.
Room for marching bands?
Nothing, huh?
I like that one.
Like, if you think of the show, what was that show, Ballers?
With The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I watched a couple seasons of that show.
It's a certain depiction of NFL life. Maybe there'd be some answers that would come from that. That was really what I was thinking in the beginning. You got to be a little bit careful here.
Get enough painkillers.
Yeah, blow, things like that.
Right. Hookers.
You got to think about things like that.
Right.
And I don't know. I went with booger. What can I say? I kept it clean.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I went with the pep band. I mean, does it get cleaner than that? I mean, I don't know.
The Bills, you need those drummer guys.
I don't want to hear any sordid stories about tales from the pep band debauchery.
What about that, Joe? All right, let's check the text line.
A lot of topical text line answers. Personal seat licenses. money for the players.
PSLs is really good.
Right.
PSLs. That's really good.
That is good, yeah.
That's a great answer. Who wrote that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have dug in a little bit.
That's a great answer. That is specifically an NFL thing.
Right.
What about commercials? College games have lots of commercials?
Yeah.
You had a lot of money for the players. You had a lot. The most popular answer by far is beer. And a lot of people pointing out that college campuses or that the stadiums are dry.
Very good.
Oh, right.
Very good answer. Beer.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I thought of and thought, like, it's too stupid. It's stupid.
Well, you shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be so hard on yourself.
I know. Well, yeah.
Look at me over here.
Thank you for that. I need that kind of encouragement from time to time. Shake weights, Joe.
Lots of shake weights. Lots of Mr. Belvedere.
Good. Thank you, Textline, for not letting us down.
Some Flex Seals in there.
Flex Seals.
Oh, is that the Jerry Rice ad?
No, Flex Seal.
Flex Seal is
the guy with the boat.
That's Copper Fed.
Flex Seal's the guy with the boat.
What boat?
Makes a boat out of a screen door and then sprays Flex Seal all over, and then he's riding around on the boat.
You don't know what we're talking about? No.
Wow.
I've probably seen it, but just not paid attention.
Oh, yeah.
No, I can't stand myself when I pay attention to those.
It stops all kinds of leaks. You just, like, slap it on a gutter with a hole in it. Fine. Flex Seal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you're going to see, next time you see that, you go, oh, yeah, of course, Flex Seal. Yeah.
No, I don't like myself when I pay attention to those. Like, I just really have done well to, you know, like, certain things in life, I've done very well to, I've really mastered ignoring them. And that's, like, those kind of ads are one of those things. I just don't even process it. We put on, the other night, we watched Miracle in our house. And then, thanks everybody who texted. And Mark for calling. We watched Miracle. And I thought, you guys got to see what the real game looked like. Because I'd call Miracle my favorite sports movie. It's just so excellent. Even though, I mean, it's Disney. It's like, it's obviously, like, puffed up.
Embellished, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. But whatever, like, the story is great already.
Yep.
And the hockey in that movie is fantastic. Like, the hockey looks fantastic in that movie.
Yeah.
They really just did, I thought, an amazing job.
I agree. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember being impressed.
2004 Miracle, by the way. It's been that movie's that old.
Yep.
Right, Joe? Like, 2003, 2004. Yep. Miracle is when, like, you were a super little kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I was about the real game. I was 8 for the real game.
Right.
Watched it live. We watched the beginning of it back at 8 o'clock on tape. So, and I think, by the way, I think about, like, how my kids are just like, no way in hell are they watching the sports like that. They're not just, do not care at all, never know when anything's on. Like, for me at 8, I was with my little white TV sort of off in the corner watching the game alone. I could barely even see it.
Right. The Canadian telecast.
CTV,
right? Yeah, right.
So, I'm like, let's watch the real game. Like, Carolyn was into this. My wife, sounds good. We'll just watch the, there was one, you go to YouTube, and one of them is the third period only. Perfect.
Yep.
So, there it is. Like, we're starting to watch the third period of the game. USA, USSR, 1980. And, you know, why is the ice, Carolyn's asking questions. Why is the ice blue? Good question. This or that, like, oh, wow, the jerseys in the movie were super realistic. Like, they just, it was super good what the jerseys looked like. Everything. And I'm like, yes, in the movie, the Jim Craig, when they win the gold medal, there's a woman on the ice with him, and he's looking up in the crowd, mouthing, "Where's my father?" And I remember watching that. Like, that is exactly what really happened. You know, all that. The details, they did great. The kids are like, they watch the movie with us. They get up. We're all doing, like, this has been announced. We're doing this. And, like,
we're watching the third period of the game.
Yeah. If the TV is on in my house, it's not on that much. Like, we do a job with the kids and TV. So when it's on, like, they're not ever going to not be watching it.
Right. So it's kind of special. Yeah.
Right. It's an occasion. Like, all right, we're watching TV. This is big. And they could not care less. They could not have cared less about the game. But on the YouTube broadcast of the third period, there were ads.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as the game went to ads, they ran back into the room to see the ads. One was for wine. Like, there was an ad for wine. Like, remember Orson Welles doing wine ads?
Yes.
This was not the Orson Welles Paul Masson ad, but this was like a wine ad. And the cars. And Julius is like, look how funny that car looks. How much do you think that is? And we're just like, we're on the air. We're shouting out numbers.
Right.
I bet it's $3,000. Like, whatever. And Carolyn's looking up the price of the car. The ads, they were hilarious. They loved the ads. Then the game would come back on, gone.
Right.
Out of the room. No interest at all. Right. Done. They love commercials.
That's awesome.
Some of you have kids. I know this is also happening in your house. The Super Bowl, old sports, whatever it is, The kids watch the ads, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's what all my kids care about.
The only conversations we ever have with Leo, if he's in the room while I'm watching a game, are about ads. And that goes back from when he was probably your kid's age. Like, he asked me, I think I even told the story on the air the one day. Like, he asked a story about, or asked me a question about a tire ad or something. Oh, no, it was the blimp. The blimp. Why do they have a blimp? Why does Goodyear have a blimp, Dad? And I'm like, well, it's advertising. Like, it's you're associating these cool pictures and these images, and it's the Goodyear blimp, and the announcers very subtly tell you it's the Goodyear blimp, and there's a little tagline, and it's just supposed to make you feel good about Goodyear, so when you need tires, you're going to go get, you're going to go to Goodyear because of the blimp. And he said, that weirdly makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, it does. I mean, it doesn't, you know, doesn't work all the time, but that's why they do it.
That's why we have the Dunn Tire right. Studios, by the way.
Right. You need tires? Dunn Tire. So he's always, like, we. If he reacts at all while we're watching a game, it's almost always about something that happened in an ad.
Yep. That's it. They love commercials. Especially old ones, though. Like, there's smoking
yeah,
in them.
Right.
Just some of them are hilarious. There was an ad, real quick, there was an ad for the TV, I tweeted it, an ad for the TV movie of the week.
Oh, boy.
And it was Elvis, starring Kurt Russell, who we had just watched as Herb Brooks in Miracle, and now we were watching the actual game.
Right.
Wait, is that Elvis? Or is it not? Wait, is that Kurt Russell? It was.
I think I saw that movie.
I tweeted it, and an old friend of mine responded with, he was a great Elvis. So now I kind of maybe want to watch a little bit of... Yeah. Of that movie. Not really. I think I'll go without it.
Yeah, you probably
I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
803-0550, 17 games, 7 playoff teams per conference. How often have the Bills been the 7 seed over the years? It's been 30 years. We have the answer for you after sports here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Start feeling a little bit like home, you know. Start knowing other people around the town, and you know where to go, and you know, just feel home. And I feel like fans been good here, people have been great here, and I've been having a good time here, and I like it. Kind of same. I'm from a small city back home, so it's a little smaller city feel. It kind of helps me a little bit. You know, it's not as big, and you know, you can go. So it's kind of that I feel like.
Frolik.
No.
I was going to say Gavin McLeod. I said Frolik.
Where was that? That noise of people behind there sounded like that was like some kind of a function, not like a locker room after a game or after a practice.
It was like a Sabres game only when they play Toronto.
Right. Like there was crowd noise. Was that like this?
This is from today.
Practice sound?
Yeah, this is...
I mean, am I crazy?
Maybe they were in a different part of the locker room.
It really
maybe
just sounded like
else.
There was like 100 people queuing up at a bar trying to get drinks while the bar was open.
Yep.
But that's the sound of that.
Larson is pondering his future.
Yeah.
Maybe being traded. I think he should be traded. I think he's of value. And I think he's like he's really the number one obvious guy here. Unless the Sabres wanted to sign him, that'd be kind of cool, I think. Wouldn't have to be that expensive, 2-3 years, something like that, I wouldn't hate.
Maybe they'll hang on to him, and then we'll be mad that they didn't change more when they're bad again next year.
Yeah.
Take it out on him, even though he's not their biggest problem.
I have never taken it out on Larson. but I've used his name
right
in this fashion yeah. definitely because the sameness. Remember, like a sports team can. I'm not sure I want to use the word successful, but it's not just about wins to click with fans. It's about more than wins. Think about how heated it gets when people have ever talked about the Sabres uniforms. It's really not about winning at all. People didn't want blue and gold back 15 years ago because they won all the time. Quite the contrary. They just felt good about it. Mm-hmm. They liked the feeling. And players can do that. And it requires an organization to pay attention to the fans. I mean, I'm sorry, I know that that's like a crazy thought sometimes because I think it can be complicated or challenging is a better word for coaches and managers to pay attention to fans. I used to talk to Darcy Regier about this on the air once in a while and off the air. Like, how do you do it? I learned from Darcy Regier actually in this mm-hmm. area. Like, how do you do it? I mean, on one hand, like I was just saying, I think it's good to know how the fans are feeling because that's important. If I were his boss, I would require that. I would also be doing that myself, listening to fans. I don't know if Terry Pegula does that. He used to listen to the fans. Maybe he still does. He, you know, listened to, it's famous around here. He listened to the station for years as a fan himself. But you also can't digest all of it because a lot of it is just so cruel.
Yeah, right. It'd be pretty toxic. Yeah.
So can you sort of get to a place where you know, I mean, really, it is a responsibility of these people who run our teams, of all teams probably, to know what sentiment is about the team. And you can hide from it, but I don't think you're doing your job all the way if you're hiding from it. I think that's important.
I definitely agree. With almost all of that, I think what I think you probably need more than anything else. I guess it depends on how you are as a person. Because if it started to harm you in a way that maybe you wouldn't even be cognizant of, like that could be a problem. You wouldn't want it to like turn you in a direction that would be unhealthy for you professionally or personally. Certainly, but what I think you want is people around you who are taking it in and making sure that you know what you need to know. So and like that could be slippery. Like who's gonna know that? Like who's to decide what you need to know and not know if you're the GM or the coach or the owner of a pro sports team in a town? But I think that's what you need. You're like a filter, you know, like someone that is trustworthy that understands how this all works and can bring to you like, look, here's what's going on. You know, like this is how people are feeling about this rather than you have to go see all the stuff and, you know, cause there can be some really nasty stuff in there. Just a thought. I don't know.
Yep. Okay. Let's go to Paul here. Hi, Paul.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Paul. Thanks.
Good. Neutral site games. A couple come to mind. Honolulu, one, could be a fun spot. I don't know if that stadium could hold a big enough crowd other than the Pro Bowl they usually do. Yankee Stadium. I know they've had some college games
there. Yeah.
That's one that's one of those neat spots. Michigan, as in university, you mentioned that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wonder if the league would have the interest or even the guts to try to go back to, say, Oakland or San Diego.
Yeah, those are interesting ideas. I think the key thing will be, thank you, Paul, the international games, that's where the league wants to be. They're going to go to exotic locations. They're not going to go to college stadiums because they would consider that a step down. They're not going to go to, you know, baseball stadiums. They'd consider themselves to be above that, I think, although Toronto happened in that particular way. But I think overall, see, like we got a tweet, and you might have brought this up too, or somebody might have brought this up, like the idea of NFL stadiums hosting games between two other teams to sort of mix it up like that. You mentioned Lambeau or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know that those games would draw very well. And I don't think the NFL will do anything. Think of how image conscious they are. Like, they're not going to do anything that they think comes with any such risk. When they put games in London and Mexico, they can point to an overarching reason for it. And attendance isn't really so much of the story. It's about growing the game. How come you only drew 8,000 people for this game in, you know, Germany? Well, it's not really about that. It's they don't know us very well, and we're making inroads. That they would consider worthy. And putting, as one guy tweeted to us, this is my opinion, putting the Browns and the Steelers in New Era Field, I mean, what are they accomplishing? They're not growing any new fans. You know, the Bills wouldn't even want that, probably. Like, why would the Bills want that? It just, there'd be lots of reasons, I think, that it just would never get, that would never go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if people would want to go to that game. Like, would you go to New Era Field to watch the Steelers play the Browns? I mean,
no.
It takes everything to get me there for Bills games.
Right.
Because watching it on TV and on my phone is just way more interesting to me.
Yeah, and like the caller suggested, going back to places that lost teams. I mean, everybody's different, and I guess like as time goes by, it may change. But like for me, like if the Bills had ever left, and then as part of this new initiative, they wanted to bring the Patriots and the Dolphins or anybody to play here. I mean, you're dead to me. The league is dead to me. I shouldn't say that. I mean, whatever. I might still watch football, but like, I might not. You know, and I definitely wouldn't want to go support it. I wouldn't want to go to the stadium. Oh, thanks for taking my team away. I still have the stadium, so thanks for bringing me a game that I pay $200 to come see. I mean, oh my God, I would just want no part of that.
So I mentioned, by the way, a minute ago, how the Bills have never in these 30 years under this format finished seventh in the AFC. They've also never finished second. And that's the other team here that's sort of affected if they go to this new system would be the 2 seed, because the 2 seed would now play a first round game. The Bills have never been a 2 seed in 30 years or a 7. They are not on the list on either end. I don't know if there's another team like that. Might there not be? Like, they might be the only team like that. Like, Pittsburgh is either a 2 or a 7 12 times.
Right.
And this is only since 1990. This is not like the Steel Curtain. 12 times. The Steelers would have been the 7 seed each of the last 2 seasons. They would have played at the Chiefs this year and at the Patriots, who were the 2 seed 2 years ago. Then, who was the 1 seed? 2 years ago. Kansas City.
Kansas City was the 1 seed, yeah.
Kansas City. And the Steelers this year, by the DVOA, Football Outsiders metric, would have been one of the worst ever playoff teams.
The games, including the Bills game, the run of games at the end of the season, I mean, they lost to Baltimore, and Baltimore wasn't playing. And they scored like 10 points in each of the games. There was the Bills game is in there, and there's another game in there too where they just did nothing, but they still would have made it.
They would have been a 10-point underdog or more at Kansas City,
right?
I bet, that first week. The NFC game this past season would have been the Rams at Green Bay. You like that?
Yeah, that's all right. That worked. That's pretty tasty.
So
yeah.
I mean, like 2004, when the Bills make the playoffs, if they win, they're not even the first team out in the end. Jacksonville is
right.
And in the Super Bowl years, they're never the 2 seed. They're the 1 3 times. And in '92, they were in the wild card. They would have been the 4.
Yeah.
In 1992. And so it's, you know, if you remember those playoffs, like I do, like you do, you can look at the 4-2 seeds from the early 90s and who those teams would have played in an extra game. It would have, if you care. Like the Raiders, the Bills beat the Raiders 51-3.
Right.
They would have had to play the Steelers in the first week. It would have been Denver and Miami in 91. Denver was game the Bills beat Denver in the AFC Championship. They were the two.
Okay.
Miami in 92 is the 2 seed. They end up hosting
the Bills, who were the 4 again, right?
Who were the 4. The Steelers were the 1, and the Bills had beaten them already.
Right.
Miami would have played Indianapolis, a terrible DVOA team, one of the worst ever for a playoff team, if they had had this system. 93 would have been Houston and Miami. Again, it's two more Dolphin playoff teams than there actually were. And that's a great Houston team that started 1-4 and then won their last 11, but they get upset by Montana's Chiefs. So they were the two, and the Bills instead play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, which was a big break.
Yeah.
And then the Oilers were great.
Right. Until then. Then it that was like the end of the line for them, just about, wasn't it?
Yes. 94, they went way backwards, and then they moved.
Right.
Like, it was precipitous, yeah. The Oilers.
Yeah, it happened pretty fast.
Yep. Yeah. 93, they play here. I went to this game with my college girlfriend. She was so miserable. Monday Night Football. We went to college in Rochester, Monday Night Football, and it was like, you know how long... It was probably 2 in the morning at least when we got home. And she was so miserable the whole night. We were sitting right down low by the Bills bench for the Bills-Oilers game. I think it's week 5. Bills blew them out like 35-7. Easy win. Houston goes to 1-4. And I remember this night for my girlfriend, she just had such a horrible time. You know, he's just like, I liked the game, but right. I just was having no interaction with her really at all. Just sitting there all grumpy. And then... the Oilers went. They won like every game after that, until the playoffs.
Right.
I tweeted once during the playoffs. I don't know what brought it up, but like, what do you guys remember about that Oilers Chiefs playoff game in '93? Because like, I as a Bills fan, like I was afraid of the Oilers. They were just killing it, and I loved that they lost. And almost every response I got was from somebody who thought I had said Oilers Bills. And just misread it. Right. And I got almost no reaction, maybe none, to my question, but it was all just to a different game. Okay, happens.
Yeah.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
All right, we got another pair of tickets. We've been giving these away all week long to go to Seneca Fight Night. It's Friday, May 22nd at the Seneca Niagara Casino. Minimum value of the prize is $70. General contest rules apply. 644-9878. Caller 5.
I've got a good question for you after the top of the hour.
Okay.
What did we find out about how much Crazy Mouse costs?
I never got to any kind of a big ride. I Googled... amusement park rides for sale.
Yep. That's exactly what I would do.
So I did, and I found my way to an auction site.
By the way, enjoy pop-up ads for amusement park rides for sale for the rest of your life.
Right.
Now that you've done that.
So, it was on the desktop here, so I'm okay. I didn't do it on my phone, so I think I might be, whatever. I mean, I'll get them here.
You'll be knowledgeable about this now.
So I found my way to a site, and they had like a list of previous auctions, that's a good place to go. So I just went through there, and I didn't find any what sounded like really big rides. It was mostly kiddie rides, most of which sound like the kind of thing you might see at the mall.
Okay,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like you put a quarter in and ride the horse for whatever, yeah. right? But there was
nice
one
depiction just there of you riding the horse at the mall.
I did bounce. Those not watching the video feed, I bounced a little. But I did find a kiddie carousel, and that was like $600. But so I did
this
not.
Got to be more. Crazy Mouse has to be.
Yeah,
way more.
I would think you're. Yeah, I mean,
five
I don't,
figures easy.
Yeah, I might. I said 250, 250 grand. I said Joe said $300. That's our. We got a pretty wide.
All right. What's more, Crazy Mouse or a Range Rover? No. Used Crazy Mouse, new Range Rover.
I'm still saying Crazy Mouse.
I'm going Range Rover. I'm definitely saying it's more than the 300 I originally spit out, but it's a Range Rover.
I've never been in a Range Rover. I'm open to it. If somebody wants to drive me around in one of those things, I'd like to know what that feels like.
I was in one once. It's really nice. What are they? Like
are they 100?
100 grand, something like that, probably. I mean, I would think you can get there. I don't know.
They're probably not as much as Crazy Mouse.
No,
Joe disagrees. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. If you're talking about the
90,000,
structure, like all that track, the little hut where people get on the ride,
yes.
Then all the cars,
right?
I mean, I don't know.
It's got to be up there.
It's got to be up there. Yeah, I'm six figures, I think. But I, you know, what I know,
crazy
I've,
mouse.
I've never really priced these things.
No, you never have, but you're about to become an expert on it.
I hope
because Google is going to track you and your searches.
I feel like it would be really great if we, through this, found our way on to like some sort of list where they will call us with the what Fantasy Island is asking for these things. I want to know.
I'd like to say, too, I have no interest ever in riding on Crazy Mouse. I'm not looking for this for my own. It's not a midlife crisis thing here. I don't care at all about riding on Crazy Mouse. I never have. I don't want it. My daughter wants to know how much it is.
Right.
And if we can buy it and then have it in our yard.
All right, good. All right, well, you'll get this question for me coming up after the break. Right now, I'm here to talk to you about, well, heating and cooling. I'm here to talk to you about Capital Heat. Did you know you can use one system to heat and cool your home with dirt? That's right. A geothermal heating and cooling system from Capital Heat can be used year-round because it harnesses the energy underground to keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. A geothermal system is more efficient than traditional gas heating and AC system, and they burn zero fossil fuels, so you're actually doing something that's better for the environment. Geothermal systems are all around cleaner, quieter, more reliable, and they're built to last longer than traditional heating and cooling systems. I mean, this sounds great. If you're converting from a boiler or replacing a traditional furnace and AC system, I'd suggest you check out this system first. In fact, you can go to capitalheat.com/heatpumps and put your numbers into their savings calculator to see how much you could potentially save. One other note, if your home is already equipped with solar panels, you should know that a geothermal heating system works perfectly to heat and cool your home using the electricity you're already generating with your solar panels. Best thing about Capital Heat is the fact that they don't work on commissions. So there's no sales tactics, no upselling. They're not just trying to take your money. They want to find the best solution for you. So for honest heating and cooling contractors, trust Capital Heat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.